What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Sort of a version of Friday Grievances. What's the stupidest thing you've heard Donald Trump say lately? There's so many to choose from. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Brian, do you have a favorite? I mean, the sharks and the electrocution
thing. The sharks and the electrocution thing are fun. I always love a good, nobody does this better than me. And it's something that he couldn't possibly have known about. Like he said,
yeah, like interest rates in the Fed
or that the drones. Yeah, nobody knows more about drones than I do. How does that even work?
Or
how
nuclear. It makes you think the guy knows nothing, right? Like when you claim to be an expert on everything, it would seem to me to indicate you what's the old saying?
Don't BS a BSer. Cause
yeah, a little bit.
Boy, do I see that guy.
Anyways, the laundry list of bat guano crazy stuff simply keeps growing and growing and growing, much like the size of the crowds at Kamala Harris's rallies. But don't ask Donald Trump that. I mean, my most favorite thing that he said recently that I think is just bat guano crazy is that Kamala Harris's crowd at her rally didn't exist and was generated by AI, even though there were hundreds of reporters there and live video footage and
people stuck in the mud and
picture
tow trucks. And yeah,
this was last Sunday on Truth Social. He actually posted twice about this. Anybody notice that Kamala cheated at the airport? This is a rally that occurred in Pennsylvania. There was nobody at the plane, and she AI'd it, showed a massive crowd of so-called followers, but they don't exist. She's a cheater. She had nobody waiting. Wow. Like, no, Donald, just because you lie about your crowd size, it makes me wonder, like, every time he says something like that, like, wait a minute, is Trump AIing his crowds? Because, again, the man is a walking diagnosis of weird neurotic projection.
In fact, most of all, what he does know is all the stuff that he does. So he talks about the stuff that he knows, so he blames it on them. That's the only thing he does know. Like, he hasn't demonstrated understanding of literally anything. Even the movies that he quotes, it doesn't seem like he gets what that movie was about or what the thing, like, he doesn't even, like, you mentioned the Hannibal Lecter stuff. It's not like he doesn't seem to even understand what the analogy is to begin with. Like, you have to know what Hannibal Lecter is and able to call anyone that.
It doesn't make any sense. Texter from the 715 listening on WXCO says the stupidest thing Trump said lately is that I picked J.D. Vance as my running mate. That's a good one. I couldn't agree more. We got one of our great friends on the line, Mark from Prairie to Sex. What's the stupidest thing Trump said lately, in your opinion?
Well, that Trump is a stable genus. He is a horse's ass. I mean, because that's where he belongs, in a stable with the other horse's asses.
I love it, Mark. A stable genus, meaning a genus that is a horse, and he is the rump on the horse in a stable. I love it. Thanks so much, Mark.
Extremely stable genius.
Or not. I mean, when I talk to conservatives about this, isn't it more likely than not that the thing is just as it appears to be, that the simplest explanation is also the correct one here, that the man is Looney Tunes? Like, come on. Like, that is not a normal way to speak or behave. It's certainly not a normal way to campaign, but he can't campaign well because it's a bad brain, as I've been saying. What about this? This was another totally crazy claim that Joe Biden tried to have the FBI assassinate Donald Trump. What? What are you even talking about? May 21st on Truth Social again, crooked Joe Biden's DOJ and their illegal and unconstitutional raid of Mar-a-Lago authorized the FBI's to use deadly force. Now we know for sure that Joe Biden is a serious threat to democracy. To your point, Brian, he's calling Joe Biden a threat to democracy because he's a threat to democracy. Just to be sure we all know what that conspiracy theory was about. As a matter of ordinary course in any warrant that's getting served by the FBI, it always includes language that lethal force is permitted if the lives of officers executing the warrant are placed in imminent threat of, or danger of harm. So that's totally bananas. What do you folks think is the craziest thing that Trump said lately? Again, many, many to choose from. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Dick from Madison, what's your favorite crackpot claim of late?
I like the one about the fictitious ride on the helicopter. And then, by the way, too, the reason he can't campaign right now is because I'm coined a new phrase for a new name for him. He likes names for people.
Yes.
Deadbeat Donald is his new name because he can't travel to these states because he's not paid up. So he's Deadbeat Donald.
Deadbeat Donald.
Pay before you even come to the state, pay up. There's 12 states now that don't want anything to do with him. He owes all kinds of money. You know, the last appearance he made last weekend, he had to pay, or he didn't pay up. Was it? And he landed in Billings, and they drove the rest of the way. Bozeman.
I love it. Deadbeat Donald, Dump Donald, Brain Dead Donald. You know, pick your favorite flavor. Brian from Brooklyn, New York. Hello, friend. What's your favorite crackpot claim of Donald Trump's as of late?
I love when he said, "I don't care about you. I just care about your vote."
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a really good one. Thanks so much, Brian. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening all the way from Brooklyn.
Many things said that nobody knew about and said in a very strong way.
I'm sorry. Come again? This is not normal by any stretch. But I promised you the Hannibal Lecter sound. Let's listen to this montage, because then I want to get everybody's theories on what exactly is it that he's trying to say with the Hannibal Lecter references. Let's take a listen. This is a montage of a number of the, he talks about Hannibal Lecter all the time. Let's listen to it all clipped together.
Has anybody seen Silence of the Lambs? The late, great Hannibal Lecter. Hannibal Lecter. Did anybody ever hear of Hannibal Lecter? The young people didn't. Hannibal Lecter. Dr. Hannibal Lecter. The late, great Hannibal Lecter. He's a wonderful man. He oftentimes would have a friend for dinner. The late, great Hannibal Lecter would like to have you for dinner. He would love to have you for dinner. He will take you. He wants you for dinner. That's the end of you, by the way. He'd love to have you for dinner. You right there. Don't do it. If he suggests, I'd like to have you for dinner, don't go. They say, why does he keep mentioning it? Because Hannibal Lecter was a serious psycho. He was a slightly troubled patient. He mentions Hannibal Lecter. It doesn't make sense. No, it makes a lot of sense. They're coming into our country. And I say, the late, great Hannibal Lecter. Oh, he likes Hannibal Lecter. Hannibal Lecter, how great an actor was he? You know why I like him? Because he said on television, on one of the, I love Donald Trump, so I love him.
And there you have it, folks. The President of the United States praising for some contorted reason a cannibalistic serial killer from a fictional series of books written by Thomas Harris.
I have a theory on this.
And let's hear it.
Like pretty much all of his campaign slogans and stumps, he's going at this like a stand-up comic, but a really, really bad one.
Bad one.
And he sounds, and the way he delivers this is like, He got a genuine laugh from somebody one time mentioning Hannibal Lecter, and that was like the one time he actually got some genuine, like, human interaction. and he's craving it so badly that he repeats it so much. He's like the idiot that you never want around that keeps repeating the same stupid joke same over joke. And over again because they got it one time and they don't know how to realize that have another joke. Have any other jokes. Like, if someone steals my joke, I don't care because I have plenty of them.
Yeah, Donald Trump has zero new material. There's no gray matter. There's no big thinking going on up there. He's got his one set of material. That's all you're going to get. What's your theory on the Hannibal Lecter obsession of the former MAGA president? 855-752-4842. Steve from Milwaukee agreeing Donald Trump is totally delusional. His favorite Donald Trump crazy claim is pick your topic like never before with a little accordion hand gesture. Cam from Appleton says that it is because Donald Trump doesn't know what asylum seekers are because he keeps talking about Hannibal Lecter after he talks about our asylum system and those that come to the country seeking asylum.
I mean, if you know the story, Hannibal Lecter was a citizen of the United States and a well-respected correct. Member of the aristocracy, by the way.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Maybe because Hannibal Lecter was in an asylum, maybe because he was, I don't know, a psychiatrist and then himself ended up in asylum. Maybe Donald Trump fears he will end up in an asylum. Maybe Donald Trump is expressing his, I don't know, and I mean this sarcastically, his inner serial killer. Like, what? And he keeps talking about it, about the border. Maybe he means this is his old racist, stupid trope about countries sending their worst people here. But again, Hannibal Lecter was a U.S. citizen, and he fled to other countries. Ugh. We'll talk a little bit about Donald Trump's Kamala insults when we come back, and then I'll talk about Kamala Harris's new economic policy platform getting rolled out today. We'll take your calls and text 855-752-4842. I'll also remind everyone of an incredibly important anniversary that's occurring on Sunday and what that means for J.D. Vance's latest stupid thing he said. All coming up here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wile E. Coyote, super genius.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream. Everything.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. We're going to have the triumphant return of Terry Barr coming up before the end of the show with what's local and overlooked. And we will end today's show with good news from Terry and a little bit of good news for me. Some great something that made me smile that I read in the news. It doesn't always happen. Not always something to put a smile on my face each and every day. Your comments and texts are welcome and calls 855-75-CIVIC. Cam from Appleton also noting that he loves watching Donald Trump's reaction when he was asked if he would declassify the Epstein documents. Oh no, probably not a great idea. I might be in those. We're talking about the crazy stuff that Trump says. What's your favorite? Steve from Milwaukee noting the tic-tac inflation nonsense. Yeah, whew. It's all over the place. There's almost too many to keep up with. Another one of my favorites is that Biden faked COVID. Like, what? Why? Okay. Another Biden-related craziness that Donald Trump likes to trot out, maybe not so much anymore, was that Biden's going to try to reclaim the nomination. This is where he's literally projecting his own dreamlike fantasies into reality. Of course, Biden's going to try to reclaim the nomination. That's not happening. And this one, that his January 6th crowd was bigger than MLK's for the I Have a Dream speech. Wow, talk about having a savior complex. No, there were 250,000 people at MLK's speech who are considered, in my humble opinion, to be actual patriots. Your crowd of some, I don't know what they estimated it to be, not 250,000, 50,000 or so. Yeah, those are insurrectionists and people who do not believe in democracy. John, what's your favorite crazy claim of Trump's as of late?
Yeah, Maggie, when he came out and admitted that January 6th people were going in on his behalf, that statement right there says he was involved with treason. Yeah. Now, responsibility is a president has to be the first commander-in-chief. A commander-in-chief is supposed to direct the military. But he did it. He failed to do that in 2018 because Iran was sinking our tankers, and he was told by the military that we're going to strike Iran and give them a taste of their own medicine, you know. Well, he got cold feet, Maggie, and he didn't do anything.
Yeah, that happened. You know, we've had, I think every president has moments where they have attempted to lay down a bright line, John, and an adversary crosses that line and they're challenged with this idea that do I militarily react and potentially incite, you know, an escalating conflict? Very, very dangerous times. And when we're faced with dangerous times, what I don't want is a man who is digressive and delusional and cruel and racist. That's who I don't want leading the country. And I want to take a listen to what Donald Trump said about his personal attacks on Kamala Harris yesterday at Bedminster. Let's take a listen.
As far as the personal attacks, because of what she's done to the country, I'm very angry at her that she'd weaponized the justice system against me and other people. Very angry at her. I think I'm entitled to personal attacks. I don't have a lot of respect for her. I don't have a lot of respect for her intelligence. And I think she'll be a terrible president. And I think it's very important that we win. And whether the personal attacks are good, bad, I mean, she certainly attacks me personally. She actually called me weird. He's weird. It was just a soundbite. And she called J.D. and I weird. He's not weird. He was a great student at Yale. He went to Ohio State, graduated in 2 years at the top of his class, and all of these different things. And we have this guy that's running a failed, really a very failed state, who's had a terrible career. I mean, you have him saying they're weird. No, he's a weird guy. And she's weird in her policy. Who wouldn't want to have strong borders? Who doesn't want to have lower taxes?
You moron. I mean, yes, Donald Trump, you're weird. You have a golden toilet. You live in a gilded unreality. You probably don't know what a gallon of milk costs. You can't stay on point. You can't stay on message. You don't know how to speak in complete sentences. Yes, sir. That is all very weird.
And you say creepy things about your daughter, too.
Correct. And it is a racist trope of centuries old that you would call Kamala Harris unintelligent. Stop. Donald Trump is an awful, terrible racist. And if you're going to vote for him and you would like to say that you're not a racist, then why are you not the company that you keep? You know, it's weird that J.D. Vance has pictures of himself in blonde wigs in drag that have resurfaced. That's weird. Thanks, Cam from Appleton. It's weird that J.D. Vance used to talk trash about Donald Trump incessantly and is now absolved of all of that. It means the man has no principles. He doesn't know his own mind. If he was so smart and graduated in 2 years at the top of his class, and his excuse for trashing Donald Trump for years and years is, oh, the media tricked me, then maybe J.D. Vance is also weird and not so smart. I mean, so gross.
I don't like Donald Trump, but I think he's an idiot because of the things that he has said and the things that he has done. At every turn, he says something that proves he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yes. And he has no humility about it. There's no, you know, no one knows everything about everything except for Donald Trump, apparently. I mean, part of wanting to engage in dialogue and policy discussions is the desire to learn more, to understand more. That doesn't exist with Donald Trump. He has no interest in informing himself about these issues. When we come back, I'm going to talk about some of Kamala's economic policy proposals that she rolled out today, including some of the more controversial elements. You're not going to want to miss that. We got Terry Barr coming up with Local and Overlooked here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody, from Brian and I. Keep it locked. We'll be back. Your farm update is next, and then we'll talk a little bit about Kamala's new economic policy proposals here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Clogs, they're awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Said that if Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her. You know?
Friday, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We talked about the nearly unceasing tidal wave of delusional, digressive drivel that comes out of the former MAGA president's mouth. It's not bad campaigning. It's a bad brain. Not a bad campaign, a bad brain. That is the problem. Now, we can have good old-fashioned policy disagreements, but that actually requires some sort of rational intelligence to have such a disagreement. The immigration question. That is a tough, tough question. The Biden-Harris administration put the most aggressive, toughest border bill together in a bipartisan fashion that would have put more border agents on the border, would have created more immigration judges to help process asylum applications faster, would have increased technological investments to secure the border, would have done more than any piece of legislation in modern American history, and Donald Trump tanked it. Because he doesn't really care about American people. He just wants to win. He wants to win not to serve, but to self-serve and self-aggrandize. Today, Kamala Harris announced a number of economic policies to help support the middle class that she would put into place if elected president. I want to review these. There's a lot of them. I'm going to throw in a couple of other recent announcements.
I do have two clips of this that just came out.
Wonderful. Let's take the clips first, then Brian, and then I'll go through the list. Go ahead then, sir.
Some of the people I worked with were raising families on that paycheck. They worked second or even third jobs to pay rent and buy food. that only gets harder when the cost of living goes up. When I am elected president, I will make it a top priority to bring down cost and increase economic security for all Americans. I know most businesses are creating jobs, contributing to our economy, and playing by the rules. But some are not. And that's just not right. And we need to take action when that is the case.
So I think that's part of a buildup to one of the announcements today, that she wants to increase the power of attorneys general, state attorneys general, and the Federal Trade Commission to go after price gouging and try to enact a first ever ban on price gouging for groceries and other essential items for households. I've heard a lot of chitter chatter about this, and like Nixon tried to do this and this isn't going to work. And you, but every single state has a price gouging law. It makes price gouging illegal. And it is actually fairly complex to prove whether price gouging has occurred. It's hard to diagnose it once you get into the financial documents and you can actually identify how much supply side pricing was for the particular good or service. You can analyze it. But every state has an anti-price gouging law that makes it illegal or at least subject to significant civil fines and forfeitures. Does anyone actually think that there aren't many corporations engaging in effectively war profiteering coming out of COVID that aren't engaging in price gouging? So let's unclutch the pearls. Let's understand what the law says about this. And let's look at every tool available to the American people via their government to stop corporations from abusing middle-class families. It's that simple. Look at every tool available, because we all know that this is happening, whether it's greedflation or shrinkflation. Yes, there was a period of supply chain disruption. Yes, that drove prices up. But in many to most industries, the prices for the inputs to create the products are now lower and stabilized. And yet many, many prices remain high. Again, it's effectively war profiteering coming out of COVID. It should be investigated. There's nothing wrong. And in fact, it's a damn good idea for Kamala Harris to be talking about that. Of course, yesterday announcing a massive prescription price negotiation on 10 essential drugs. That deal, which will go into effect in 2026, will save American taxpayers nearly $6 billion. When we talk about what's middle class, one of the things that Kamala Harris has committed to doing is not raising taxes on families and households making $400,000 or less. Now, I hear $400,000, I'm like, that's not middle class. That's rich people. But here in the Midwest, our cost of living is one thing. You go to places like LA, Seattle, New York City, Miami. Families, again, earning less than $400,000, Kamala Harris has made a commitment not to raise their income taxes, potentially look at additional income tax cuts, but she's absolutely committed and announced today that she will look at potentially raising taxes on billionaires and corporations. That's what we should be doing. They need to pay their fair share. If we don't do that, eventually, we will put Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid on the chopping block, and that has been the plan all along. What else has Kamala Harris announced today? She wants to increase the child tax credit to $6,000 during the first year of a child's life and restore the Biden administration's child tax credit that expired, that Republicans allowed to expire at the end of 2021, which raised the child tax credit for most families from $2,000 to $3,000 per child that maxed out at $3,600 for the poorest families. She wants to look to invest $25,000 in assistance for a first-time home buyer. This would impact, again, it's you have to income qualify for this. It would potentially impact more than 1 million middle-class American first-time homebuyers. She wants to expand housing supply, calling for the creation of 3 million new housing units and proposing a tax credit for developers who build starter homes, homes that are affordable for middle-class families, and invest $40 million in an innovation fund to help tackle the housing crisis. She also proposed an expanded tax credit for housing developers who build affordable housing rental units, which is also a key element to address the housing crisis. She proposed canceling medical debt. In other words, you use federal funds to buy up medical debt. You're often buying that for pennies on the dollar and requiring or then asking the healthcare providers to cancel the bad debt. She proposes an earned income tax credit for lower wage workers up to $1,500 a year and continuing Joe Biden's promise not to raise taxes on American middle class households, which I just mentioned. Extending subsidies under the ACA was proposed today by Vice President Harris for an average savings to American households, middle class households, of $700 per year on their health insurance premiums. She wants to sponsor, again, propose, and would sign 12-week paid leave legislation. Duh. That's probably a good idea. And raising the minimum wage is what Vice President Harris has committed to do. It's about time. It hasn't been raised in God knows how long. And she's also committed to the independence of the Federal Reserve, something that is absolutely essential for any capitalist democracy. Full stop, period. Anybody who tells you anything else is lying or a moron. The Fed is an independent entity and it better, well, stay that way. I wanted to point out before we bring on Terry Barr, we're going to have a little bit of local and overlooked, that this Sunday is the anniversary of the signing of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote in 1920. Very important to remember that, because apparently Republicans have forgotten that women indeed can vote, because they want to strip us of rights. First time in modern American history where the Supreme Court actually took away rights. The government is not fighting to protect people's rights for more equality, more equity in the way we are treated under the law. J.D. Vance thinks women without kids shouldn't vote and thinks postmenopausal women, and frankly, that would just, let's just lump in every woman over 40, that their only function is to provide childcare for free, preferably, according to Mr. Vance. This is an anti-woman Republican Party, make no bones about it. And J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are so far out of touch with what most Americans think about reproductive freedom, about healthcare freedom. They are in the business of stripping away freedoms. And they don't understand why women are ticked off about it. Let's listen to what J.D. Vance had to say yesterday on Laura Ingraham about women that care about abortion rights. Let's take a listen.
Well, first of all, I don't buy that, Laura. I think most suburban women care about the normal things that most Americans care about, right? They care about inflation. They care about the price of groceries. They care about public safety.
It's not normal to care about abortion, JD, to care about freedoms, to care about being treated equally under the law. That is JD Vance yesterday. They just do not give one toot about women's freedoms. That is the new GOP under Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. For shame. But I promised you all I would end on a happy note this afternoon and send you all off into the weekend with some good news. We're going to bring on our good friend of the show, Terry Barr. We're going to get in at least one of Terry's stories about what is good and local and overlooked in the state of Wisconsin. Terry, what's your first story that you wish to share with us?
Hi, Maggie. Great to be back with you. If you've driven through Green Bay, You've probably noticed those Packers fences along Lombardi Avenue by Lambeau Field. And of course, it changes every year with every football season. But have you ever wondered who is this guy or girl that's behind the art on the fence? Well, the guy's name is Spencer Young. He's not going to talk about what he's painting this year. Right now, it's still the Jordan Love that he did last year. It remains there. It looks gorgeous. But he's going to come up with something new. He won't tell us what it is, but he's inviting everybody to watch for it because he's going to be out there, and he's going to reveal it in time for the home opener on September 14th. And the main fence he does is right across from Lambeau Field. Here's the deal, though, that I found out and I love about Spencer Young. He is inspired by his grandfather, who was also an artist and a huge Packers fan. His grandpa said to Spencer when he was young, be an artist. If this is what you love, do what you love. So Spencer decided, yeah, okay, I'm going to be an artist. I can be any kind of artist. And now look what he's doing. And millions of people see it every year. This is his 10th year. Again, the new design will be revealed in time for the home opener, September 14th, Maggie.
Wonderful. We're going to bring Terry back after these brief messages for our second story of what's good, local, and overlooked here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm looking forward to seeing what Spencer comes up for the 2024 Packers season. Keep it locked, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back with Terry Barr after these brief messages.
Life is pain, Highness. Anyone who says differently is selling something.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, y'all. And because it's Friday, we've got Terry Barr back with what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Thanks so much for making time, Terry. What else you got for us?
Oh, Maggie, I love this story in particular because it came as a surprise. We have an international touring artist, Janet Planet. She's a jazz vocalist. She calls Oshkosh home. She just got back from the London Jazz Festival. She has been in every place you can think of sharing her music. But even more recently, she was in New York City recording a new project. Okay, so what's special about it? Well, what I learned from Janet Planet is the music was all written, every song written by a friend while this friend was fighting breast cancer. And the friend thought she could at some point get into the studio and record her own songs with Janet's help. Well, she ended up asking Janet if she would do it for her. So these songs are now ready to go. They're going to be shared for the very first time at the fairly new Oshkosh Jazz Festival, which is happening August 24th. These songs are hopeful, they're joyful, they're fun, and I just wrote a story about this, including the music, which just ended up in my hands not long ago, about a half an hour ago, and it's all on our website right now if you want to hear about it and take a look at Janet's story. It's at civicmedia.us. I just love the idea of someone stepping in to get that message out from a breast cancer survivor who said, I can't do this. I can't sing my own songs. They're too close.
That's amazing, Terry. Thanks so much for sharing that really touching story. Yeah. I bet everybody listening knows someone who has battled and hopefully survived breast cancer. When is the Oshkosh Jazz Festival kicking off?
It's only in its fourth year, and it's August 24th, all afternoon, outside on the main street in Oshkosh. Janet Planet will be there to sing these new songs for the first time.
Oh, awesome. Well, check out Janet Planet at Oshkosh Jazz Fest, its fourth annual year. Thanks so much, Terry. You have a beautiful weekend, my friend. We'll have Terry back happy Friday, Terry. She'll be joining us starting again. She'll be restarting after the DNC every Friday for what's good, local, and overlooked across the state of Wisconsin, because we want to send you into the weekends on a high note. And I've got one last bit of a high note for each and every one of you out there. The Brewers doing well, split the series, the four-game series with the Dodgers. Coming back in the last innings of yesterday's game from a deficit to take one from the Dodgers. Really excited. I'm going tonight. Really excited to be at the game. But I was absolutely nostalgically delighted to read in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that the Milwaukee Police Department and the Milwaukee Brewers are bringing back the Brewers trading cards from the 80s. I love it. If you are a native Milwaukeean and you grew up around this time, maybe you might even be close to my age, you'll remember that in the 80s and the 90s, cops used to roll around with Brewers baseball cards. On the front, you'd have the Brewers player and a couple of stats. And on the back, there was basically a safety tip. I loved these things. I would run up to squad cars, flag cops down. I think it's such a great way to encourage trust building, positive interactions between the community, especially kids, and the Milwaukee Police Department. Really excited to see it. If you don't remember this, this is how popular they were. Each week, MPD officers, this is back in the 80s and 90s, who worked the daily patrols and were out in neighborhoods, would patrol with two different cards for the week. And they would give all those out, and then they'd reset with two new cards for another 15-week period. So it was by these 15-week periods, just two cards at a time. So you always had to be checking back in with the police officers to see if they had a new card, right? Because you didn't want to just collect the same cards. You wanted the entire set. The initial print of 40,000 cards was gone in a matter of weeks. The Brewers had to print another 30,000 to satisfy demand. It was such a big hit back in the 80s and 90s. In 1983, it was probably the most popular year. Municipalities throughout the state, not just MPD, started to also engage in this program. So it expanded beyond Milwaukee. Wouldn't it be great to see it back across the state? In 1996, Packers cards became another giveaway. What fun. So cool to see that back. Brian, I know you grew up in Chicago, but if you're out and around in Milwaukee with your beautiful daughter these days, wouldn't it be cool to be able to get a little Brewers baseball card from your local friendly police officer? I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a great idea, but I got to tell you, my daughter has plenty of things that she has collected.
We don't so need many, to be suggesting anymore.
So many
collectibles.
Things. There's so many things, Maggie. I can't even be. There's shelves, and then there's shelves, and there's pop-ups, and there's pops, and there's these dolls, and there's an entire. Hey, by the way, Rummage is happening beginning of September in Oak Creek.
Brian Kelly and the Kelly family rummaging. Don't tell his kids. He might be trying to clear out some of her collectibles. We all love to do that stuff when we are kids. I certainly had my own set of those Brewers trading cards that I got from MPD. And back in the day, they actually used to give away full sets of the cards for a particular year as a fan promotion, which was really cool. I loved these. I wonder if my 47-year-old self can roll up to a cop after they get these out on the street and ask for a couple of baseball cards. Or would that be frowned upon? I don't know. Maybe if I ask really nicely, they might grace me with a couple of cards. That's going to do it for me, folks. I'm going to be live from the DNC all next week. I am so excited. And every day, I know I've got one special guest locked in. It's going to be today at the DNC with County Executive David Crowley. I'm going to be checking in with David every day. Don't miss any of the shows. We're going to blow the roof off that joint. Have a great weekend, everybody. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together. Happy weekend, everybody.
It's our time.